You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we put on our dancing shoes and take a look at our top five favorite dance movies.
I wore my leotard.
And why are we doing that? We have some awesome guests going to
yes,
be joining us.
Yes, I know. I've actually been looking forward to this. We have the Flaming Dames, the famous burlesque troupe from here in Chicago. They're joining us in studio.
Yeah, so they're going to be coming in here, sitting down with us the whole episode. They got their list of top five favorite dance movies. Can't wait to hear them because they're experts at this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They know their dance.
No doubt about it. Besides that, we got reviews of Horrible Bosses out in
theaters.
And DVD reviews, you caught...
True Grit.
Ah.
It's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk about that.
And I saw the documentary Restrepo, which I can't wait to tell you about. It's a hidden gem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love ducks, so...
Plus, Eye for an Eye, we have Conan the Barbarian, a new segment we like to call...
Cinema War.
And a whole lot more trivia.
We got to get a soundbite on that.
Yeah, we do. We do for sure. So let's get started. Let's bring in the Flaming Dames. Welcome to Cinema Jaw, guys. Gals, I should say.
Hi.
Ladies.
Thanks. Thank you.
So tell us about, you know, burlesque in general, specifically the Flaming Dames. How did it all begin? You were kind of telling me before we started.
Yeah.
And we should say your names.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, we have, say your names on the mic so people know your voice.
I'm Leslie Kerrigan. I'm the artistic director and creator of the Flaming Dames.
I'm Andrea Emmerich, and I am the choreography manager of the Flaming Dames.
I'm Amy Binder, and I'm production manager of the Flaming Dames.
Amy is also the poster girl for the Flaming Dames, at least on one of the...
one of them, yeah.
Yeah, she was Wonder Woman on the Nerdlesque.
Yes, Nerdlesque.
Actually hanging in my office to this day.
That's fantastic.
It's true. True story.
That's great. So Leslie, you were telling us how you more or less got this whole thing started about 8 years ago?
Oh, it was about 10.
Okay.
This is our 10th year in production. 10 years ago, we were hooked up with New Millennium Theater Company. It's one of Chicago's first pop culture parody theater companies. I was a company member. I am a company member. And about 10 years ago, we were having a pitch meeting and going around the table of all the company members and coming up with ideas for how are we going to bring in audience members. And I was sitting there, and my background is in dance. Nobody at the table knew that my background was in dance because I was always doing like plays and acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I want to do burlesque. I want to do this rock and roll burlesque troupe. And everybody looked at me like I was insane because 10 years ago...
It wasn't in like it is right now.
Not at all.
Yeah,
no, like now
huge.
When you say burlesque, everybody recognizes it. They know exactly what it is. I mean, there's the movie Burlesque
right.
and, you know. But back then, it was kind of hard. I had to like kind of pitch it and really like sell it and make them give me some money to do a show.
Uh-huh.
And they only gave me enough money to do a show for one weekend, and it turned out that I guess rock and roll and boobies sell because
we get out. Really?
Because we were turning people away at the door, and we like doubled our budget. We made it back. We made money that weekend, and then the company just kept rolling with it and throwing money at me and letting me produce my shows and all my crazy rock and roll ideas.
So at that point, did you start holding auditions and looking for more dames, and it
I
started
did.
To grow?
I did, exactly. Yeah, I would hold like big giant auditions, and I'm really lucky. I found some really, really amazing women that have been with me for years and years and years and years. I've got two of my dames with me tonight, but I have a cast, a pool, if you will, of probably like at least 10 to 15 women that I can pick from at any given time to put up a show or do a gig or whatever, because we do our main stage shows and we do gigs all around Chicago.
And where is that main stage show? So the Jawheads at home can go check you out sometime.
Our new home is Vision Nightclub. That's the nightclub that's attached to Excalibur. It's at 632 North Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
Not far from here, yeah.
No, not far at all. We're doing the Exorcism of the Flaming Dames in the fall, and
nice.
It's all based in it's all based in Chicago, really famous Chicago ghost stories like Resurrection Mary and
oh, great.
The little girl that like haunts the The Room at Vision and Bloody Mary and The Italian Bride and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. The concept is that our dames are possessed by these ghosts, and it's the audience's job to exorcise them, and we do it through the boobies and the dancing and the rock and roll.
You know, not to go off on a tangent, but that place is creepy.
Like, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm kind of a skeptic, but the one time that something I cannot explain happened to me, it honestly happened to me while I was at Excalibur. I was upstairs at Vision, too, yeah. So... creepy place.
Oh, it's very creepy. It's very, very creepy. And we've just kind of like cashing in on that concept.
Good.
Now, me and Matt both had the chance to check out the Flaming Dames, both after C2E2 for this, what do you guys call it?
Nerdlesque.
I love Nerdlesque.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And do you guys sort of sit around at a table and come up with these ideas all together? Or where do the ideas all come from?
I mean, we do. I tend to like throw them out there at first. And then the girls and I kind of, it's very, very collaborative. We all sit down and hash it out and figure it out and pick the songs, and it's always based in rock and roll and always based in parody, but we never really stray too far from that core vaudevillian comedy and then girls, and then comedy and then girls. And so while it's updated and we don't do the cigarette holders and the feather boas, we put a spin on it, the rock and roll spin, and we do it in a rock and roll kind of genre and mindset.
But the heart of it is still, you know, true to the art form. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And some of the jawheads at home, I'm sure, are going to want to go to a website, check out the Flaming Dames. Where's the best place to check that out at?
www.theflamingdames.com. Or you can go to Facebook and visit us on there. Friend us, please.
You guys got quite a few friends on Facebook.
We do. We have about 1,300 now.
Oh, that's great.
It grows every day.
Yeah.
Nice.
With every booby reveal is a new fan.
It's just hard to say no to that, you know? I got one last question for you guys. What are some of the other themes you've done? Obviously, we talked about Nerdlesque, but like some of the bigger themes you guys have covered.
The one that's close and personal and dear to my heart is Talk Dirty to Me. I'm a huge, huge 80s hair rock fan.
Okay.
Huge 80s hair rock fan. And we just closed Talk Dirty to Me on August 30th. We put it to bed. It was the first show that we did way back when that kind of like put us on the map, that kind of got us a lot of recognition. And over the years, we've done it probably two other times, and we put it back up this past spring, and we decided, you know, August 30th, we got to put this show to bed, and it's going to rest, maybe for another 10 years, maybe we'll bring it back, but, you know.
A reunion tour.
A reunion, yeah, exactly. But we've done
that.
We do a lot of, like, horror themes in our work.
The fall shows, the darker themed shows, are usually our more successful shows, based on vampires. Or we had one called Hell's Bells, so we all had, you know, dark makeup and dreads, and we were in your face and like clawing at you while you're sitting in the audience. So that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah,
we'll actually be performing at the horror convention Flashback this weekend. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sweet.
We've been a headlining performing act at Flashback for the last 7 years. We've even done, I mean, this ties in with you guys, too. We've done Bump and Grindhouse, and it was our tribute to Grindhouse movies and B-movies,
sure.
B-horror movies. We did that a few years ago.
You guys really should be called the Creative Dames.
Yay!
Nicely done, Rye.
I like it.
Yeah. Now, we always end our guest interviews with cinema cues, we call them, sort of movie questions to get to know the guests a little bit better. Got one for each one of the ladies, so we'll start off with Amy. Let's say you could have any Hollywood star join the Flaming Dames for a night to dance with you. What Hollywood star would you want on stage with you?
Right now, like a star right now, right?
Correct.
Anne Hathaway.
Oh. I like
love
that.
Her.
That's
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Best
mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway movie? Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, probably.
I totally agree.
Yep.
We throw this one over to Andrea. Let's say they're making a movie based on the Flaming Dame's life. What director would you want directing that movie?
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yes! Yeah. That's a good one. That's
British.
A good answer.
Yeah.
And the last one over to Leslie. Let's say they're remaking Pretty Woman, and your cast is Vivian Ward, the Julia Roberts character.
Right.
What actor working today would you want cast as Edward?
Oh, man.
That's the tough one.
Oh, that's really hard. Okay, let me think here. God, I might even... I might even say Richard Gere. He's really? Kind of like, he's like hot old guy.
That's a good answer. That's the first time anybody's gone there.
And he
so.
Can tap dance. I mean, I can't pass that up.
Absolutely. I wonder if that movie's going to come up later on and when we get to our top fives.
I wonder.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. So the Flaming Dames are going to be sitting in with us all show, Matt. Brings us to our first segment we call Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore, a new movie opening up, and that is sponsored by
the New 400 Theater.
They are located at 6746 North Sheridan. And what's the best thing about the New 400 Theater?
I say it every week, and I stand by this. Best thing is, they have a full liquor bar.
Full liquor bar.
That's right. Cocktails, beer, wine. They even had butterbeer for the Harry Potter opening. It was fantastic.
Yeah, check them out. All new movies that are playing there at www.thenew400.com.
And we thank them for their support of Cinema Jaw.
Awesome. So a new movie opening up, Matt, is Conan the Barbarian. The tale of Conan and his adventure across...
Conan?
Yeah, Conan.
Does Andy Richter sit next to him on a couch?
I call him Conan.
He's Conan.
No, Conan. And right. his adventures across the continent of Hyboria on a quest to avenge the murder of his father and the slaughter of his village. Playing Conan in this remake is Jason Mormaa. He's currently in Games of Thrones. Yeah, I don't watch this.
I don't either.
And it's directed...
I hear a lot about it.
It's directed by Marcus Nispel, who is responsible for 2009 reboot of Friday the 13th and also the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake that came out in 2003.
That's a pedigree.
Matt, interested or ignore on Conan the Barbarian?
I am a humongous Conan fan, so I'm interested in this. I read the comics. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I've even read the novels by...
This doesn't
Howard.
Surprise me at all.
Yeah. Now I'm forgetting the writer's name, but yes, I read him.
We throw it
I
over
swear.
To Leslie.
Yeah.
Interested or ignore on Conan the Barbarian?
Honestly, ignore.
Wonderful.
It's okay.
Andrea,
I knew I'd be alone.
Interested or ignore on Conan?
I would probably, honestly, hang my head in shame while I went to the theater, but yeah, telling you guys, I ignore it. Yeah.
And Amy, interested or ignore on Conan the Barbarian?
Can I be in the middle?
You got to take a stance on Cinema Jaw.
You do.
I'm
going
to say ignore.
Boy, damn. This is great. We're all ganging up on
Does
you,
he
man.
Tap dance? I mean...
Because I'm giving this one...
He swings a sword.
I'm giving this one a big fat ignore as well.
Oh. You will all rue the day you ignored Conan.
I'm telling you, there's no reason to go on any further with Conan the Barbarian. It's done for me. I don't need any more.
Conan is the best. He's so hedonistic. He's awesome. I mean, he is a man's man and a ladies' man at the same time.
Well, did Arnold Schwarzenegger play him in like the first one that came out?
Yes.
Sure did.
First two, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only two.
Yes. All I think of is sweat and muscles.
Yeah.
Sweat and muscles.
And
that's what got me so excited.
I'm just going to let you guys know.
Change my vote to interest, then?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
There's ladies in it, you know? I mean, Conan.
We're calling this one officially four ignores, one interested,
right.
Matt. You're getting slaughtered on this one.
That's all right.
I'm telling the jawheads at home, stay away from Conan the Barbarian. Speaking of new movies, though, Matt, I did get out and saw Horrible Bosses, and I forgot to give this review last week. One of the best comedies of the summer, both Kevin Spacey and Colin Farrell steal the show when three friends conspire to kill each one of their bosses. The laughs start rolling. Jason Bateman plays the normal straight character we've come to suspect, but in a role that just perfectly fits him. Even Jennifer Aniston, who I am not a fan of, gets a passing grade here because she talks dirty and takes off her clothes in every scene. This is one to catch for sure, Matt. If not in the theater, throw it on your cue now to remind yourself. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 Jaws, a grade of a B+ for Horrible Bosses.
I'm going to go catch this one at the New 400, actually.
You should.
Yeah.
It'd be great with a couple of PBRs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah. Good idea. It has no dancing in Horrible Bosses, however. Zero. But that is our topic, is our top five favorite dance movies. Mm-hmm. The Flaming Dames picked this one. I think it was a fantastic, fantastic call.
We're so excited that you guys are excited about it. We thought you were going to laugh at us.
No, we needed to cover this. I mean, there's only so many times you can do horror and sci-fi and comedy and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So dance. Good call.
Yeah. And our top five favorite dance movies this week is sponsored by
Evil Squirrel Comics.
And they're located at 6928 North Glenwood.
And seriously, this is probably the best comic book store. Not probably. It's the best comic book store in Chicago. If you like them on Facebook, you get 10% off. It's 6928 North Glenwood, which is just steps from the Morse Red Line stop. So pick up your comics at Evil Squirrel.
Yeah, and they also have a website.
Yep, and it's evilsquirrelcomics.com. It's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, so definitely check them out.
Yep.
And we thank them for their sponsorship of Cinema Jaw.
Indeed.
Yeah. So I'm going to get us started with our top five dance movies.
Okay.
Because this first one is such a fantastic film, and I doubt it's on anybody's list. At least I'm hoping it's not. Came out in 1992. It's directed by Baz Luhrmann, who I'm a huge fan of.
Oh, I know what
Who also saying. Did both Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge, one of my favorites of all time. Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah.
It's not number one or anything, is it?
It's not number one on our list, but it definitely is on our B list.
Yeah.
It really is. I completely agree with that.
This is a film I saw in college in a film class, and I thought, what? I'm not going to watch a movie about ballroom dancing, especially back in college. Now I appreciate film more, but at the time I thought, come on. And I end up watching it and just fell in love with it. It's got this like champion ballroom dancer who wants to do new moves. He calls them like his new steps, and he's sort of ousted by the whole ballroom society, if you will. And then there's this sort of like oddball girl who he ends up teaming up with. And
yep.
It all works out for him.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, Matt, Strictly Ballroom, one of the best ballroom dancing movies I've ever seen.
That's got to be a short list, though, Matt.
So that's your Q-tip of the show, Matt. Throw that one on your cue. Strictly Ballroom. What do you got sitting at five?
All right. I'm coming out swinging, as I like to do. White Knights.
I said that last night when the dames were trying to agree on our top five. I said White Knights.
And nobody agreed with you?
These ladies looked at me like I had lobsters crawling out of my ears.
Oh, they are so wrong.
I'm telling you, I agree. You're going to get a high five for that. Yeah.
High five indeed.
Absolutely.
All right. Two words. Actually, it's four words. Mikhail Baryshnikov, close enough, and Gregory Hines.
I mean,
need you say any more?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about
the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's all about defecting from Russia and defecting from the United States. It's Cold War in 1985 at its best.
I've never seen the whole thing. I've only seen bits and pieces. Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
It's a stellar, stellar dance film.
It really, Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Really good dancing.
Yeah.
Good pick, Matt.
Thank you. Who knew, right?
Yeah, I was getting really
I'm impressed, Matt. I'm really impressed.
Thanks. I'll ruin it later. Don't worry.
We swing it over to the dames. Can't wait to see what they got sitting at number five.
Our number five, we've got No One Judge, okay?
No judging on
No judging.
Jaw.
All right? We picked it. I'm going to tell you why we picked it before I tell you what it is.
I'm
picked
nervous.
It. Because it's so wonderful. It's so wonderfully bad.
Uh-oh. I hope you're not stealing my number three.
Showgirls.
Not stealing.
I don't feel embarrassed or ashamed of that at all. I'm super proud.
Yeah, that's a movie you can have fun with. It really
love
grew
it.
Into sort of a cult hit.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
I can watch it on a daily basis.
Oh, come on now.
I think you do.
I have.
Last night, you loaned it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
The only thing about that movie I remember, well, you know, one of the things I remember, I should say, is the jazz hands thing. What was up with that?
Oh, she was, okay, this was before, it was Nomi Malone was who Elizabeth Berkley played.
Right, right.
And she came to Vegas to be a showgirl.
Oh, exciting.
And was like that whole girl off the bus with big dreams. And she wasn't working yet as a showgirl. And I think, I can't remember if she was ushering or if she was waitressing in the club of the show that she wanted to perform in.
Yep.
And she was standing in the audience and she just did the...
Yeah.
Like the hands.
That sound effect was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the most famous scenes.
Yeah,
I mean, this obviously the movie very famous for, it was supposed to be Elizabeth Berkley's big breakout movie. It was going to turn her into a star, and obviously it just
she couldn't get away
that.
From Jesse Spano.
No.
She just could not get away from it. She tried really hard, though.
Yeah,
she tried about as hard as she can.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where the whole movie went wrong. She just tried a little too hard.
But there is something about that movie. There's something really kind of fun and interesting about that movie. It's glamorous and it's full of drama. And Gina Gershon, I mean, come on.
Yes.
Hottie McHotterson, come on, really? Right? And like, there's the drinking game. Do you guys know the drinking game that's associated with Showgirls?
No. There's a drinking game with
There's a drinking game. Every time Gina Gershon's character says, darling, You drink.
And you're hammered by about 20 minutes in, I bet.
Hammered. Like hammered.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Great pick. Great pick at five. I love Showgirls. Good one. Swings us into our number fours. And this is my first of three. This is going to stun you, Matt. Movies about the ballet.
Okay.
Came out in
It's not stunning.
Came out in 2003 and stars Nev Campbell. And
oh,
also
yeah.
James Franco. I'm speaking of The Company.
Yes. Yes.
This is directed by the late, great Robert Altman. He's always fantastic with ensemble pieces, has a huge cast, and it really, he used the entire cooperation of the Jeffrey Ballet here in Chicago. And yeah. Basically, the whole idea is to show you how hard it is to be in the ballet and the dedication it takes. The relationship between Neve Campbell and James Franco is playing her boyfriend, and how it's so strained because all she's doing is giving basically her whole life to the ballet.
Yeah.
And just a really interesting look at it. You know, it's a drama. It does have a lot of actual ballet dancers in there, which I really appreciated because as good as, and maybe it's going to pop up later, Natalie Portman did in the movie, you just don't get the authentic, you know, look at a dancer.
Which is kind of sad, I think, because yeah. Neve is actually a trained dancer.
She is.
Her
yes.
background is in dance,
mm-hmm.
which is, I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, she
was
perfect.
Seen that a little bit
she
more.
Was perfect in this, in The Company.
Yeah.
So definitely check it out. Great, great pick.
Another
I
one
do
for
say
my
so
cue.
Myself. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That was my number four. Matt, what do you got sitting there?
You know, I'm wondering if I put this one too low. It's an absolutely iconic movie. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, man.
Did I steal your number one?
Nice choice.
No. It's
okay.
not. Actually.
Not on my
no,
list.
But I am absolutely impressed with your
really?
Pick so far.
Hey, I'm doing well.
Absolutely impressed.
I mean, this really, it's the movie that brought disco to the mainstream.
Yep.
And
yeah.
and it's about the clothes, it's about the, you know, the women in the hair and all that stuff that went along with it, but most of all, it's about the dance. And really, when you think about disco
yep.
as a genre, the first thing that comes to your mind is that image of John Travolta in the white suit with his finger in the air.
No doubt about
Definitely.
It.
And you tell somebody to do a disco dance who doesn't know anything about dance, and they're going to do that finger yep. in the air thing.
Absolutely.
That is the power of Saturday Night Fever. It's in the zeitgeist of pop culture.
And
so.
The soundtrack to that movie is badass.
To this day.
Yeah,
this day.
I agree.
Awesome.
Yeah. It really, it's one of those, yeah, you hear it and it's still awesome no matter what.
The
yeah.
Bee Gees know what they're doing.
They really do.
Yeah. Good pick, Matt.
Thank you.
You're coming on strong. What's wrong with you?
Just wait till number three.
All right, there we go.
Uh-oh.
Swings us over to the Dame's number four.
Amy?
Okay, our number four is the 1972 film directed by Bob Fosse, choreographed Bob Fosse, Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
Love Liza Minnelli.
We're all kind of Bob Fosse dorks. We're big Bob Fosse dorks.
Well, I don't want to give my opinion of Cabaret then.
Oh, come on.
No.
I don't know. I don't like Liza Minnelli, you know?
Whoa. Oh, dude.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the hell you say.
Just suck the air out of the room. She Wait. Was really good in her cameo in Arrested Development, if you saw her.
Have you ever seen Cabaret? Did you see Cabaret?
Yes, I did. You know what?
Even
I
in that, you didn't like her?
I saw it way too late. I remember thinking, like, I was really pumped to see it because it's like
a classic.
Everybody, yeah, you got to see Cabaret. So I finally sat down and watched it, and I was like, what is this?
Wait, what didn't you like? I'm just curious.
It really just all Liza Minnelli. I just don't like her. Sorry.
If you don't like Liza Minnelli, you're not going to like that movie.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. There's just something about it.
But what about the performance numbers, like in the cabaret at the Kit Kat Club?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and I can appreciate good,
yeah.
You know,
it's
good
dark.
Performance.
It's
yeah,
dark.
It's dark. I don't know. I just, something missed. It's one of those, you know, a classic film that's so hyped up for you, you finally see it, and it just didn't live up to it for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fair enough.
Right,
fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You're entitled to your opinion, Rye.
But you're all
it's wrong,
Minnelli
but you're
fans.
Entitled.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
In Cabaret, come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the dance numbers are pretty dark for, like, a musical movie,
mm-hmm.
and we like that.
We covered,
like the dark themes.
We covered musicals a few months ago
yeah.
with Vigiano, and I think he brought up Cabaret.
He did.
So, yeah.
He was also a big fan. I mean, I think anybody who's especially into burlesque or the cabaret, you know, the classic musicals,
oh, yeah.
obviously it's going to pop up on everybody's list. So yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Good pick.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Swings us into our number threes. And here I have a classic musical. I think it has the best, at least the funnest dance number I've ever seen on film. I spoke about it in the Best Musical episode, 1952, Gene Kelly masterpiece, Singing in the Rain.
It had to be said.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think that whole number of him singing in the rain, dancing in the rain, and really, who dances better than Gene Kelly in those
I
kind
know.
Of films?
Not a lot of people.
I know.
He's a legend. I mean, you know, I'm not like a dance aficionado like the ladies, but Gene Kelly is one of the first names that's going to pop up when you talk about dance.
And here's one. I guess this is a good example of how I said it. For me, cabaret, it didn't live up to the hype. And same with Singing in the Rain. I saw it very late, and this is one that had all that hype, and it did live up to it for me. It was one of those I put out. I was like, oh, my God. I wanted to say this was one of the best movies of all time, and I watched it and was like, wow, it really was. You know? I could have totally appreciated all the numbers, especially Singing in the Rain.
And what's really interesting about Gene Kelly in that movie, he was a huge, huge stickler for perfection in his dance steps. He and Debbie Reynolds got into it a lot. Because if she screwed up a step, if anything, he would just chew her out. But you would never, never know that from their chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
Ever. You would never guess that. But
Gene, he was a D-bag, huh?
Gene's a little bit of a D-bag. he was a little bit of a D-bag. But
that's
hilarious. when you're doing that kind of dancing, you kind of have to be.
Right. It's got to be.
I can
perfection.
Be a D-bag sometimes about the dance steps, girls, can I?
I like it when you are.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Matt, what do you got at number three?
All right. I have a guilty pleasure.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean,
Get the buzzer ready.
The name of this movie is actually synonymous with terrible sequel. And I'm talking about Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. All I'm going to say is Turbo solo on when they turned the room around. This was like early before, I think it was before Lionel Richie did Dancing on the Ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And he dances on the ceiling, and like they turn the camera slowly so you can't tell the room is actually moving.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, I bought it. I'm like, holy crap, he's dancing on the ceiling. And it was 1985, I think, and everybody wanted to be able to break dance. And Ice-T is in this movie.
Is he really?
He's in that movie?
Yes, he's in both of them.
Wow.
I did not know that either before I did the research for this show. I'm like, whoa, Ice-T was in Breakin' 2? No kidding. It's true.
Wow. I have not seen these films in a very, very long time.
You really have to. It's a guilty pleasure. Breakin' 2, they play it on like TV every once in a while, and when they do, I will stop and watch it because it's freaking hilarious.
I agree with you.
There's some good dancing in it.
Yeah, there is. You're right.
I was expecting one of these films to pop up.
It had to, yes.
Glad it was yours, Matt.
It's no Singing in the Rain, but...
I love you, that you followed us Singing in the Rain off the break, too.
Electric Boogaloo.
That is awesome. Swings us over to the Daves. What do you got at number three?
Our number three is the 2002 film version of Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Remember when Catherine Zeta and Renee Zellweger did their thing, everybody was like, they can sing and dance?
It was stunning.
Oh, my God.
Especially, I mean, I just loved Catherine Zeta-Jones in there.
Oh,
she
my
really
God.
Owns
she's
the
wonderful.
Movie.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah. And Queen Latifah as
awesome.
Mama. Come on.
She was amazing.
Yeah. And even John C. Reilly when he sings Cellophane Man.
That's one of
heartbreaking.
My favorite numbers.
Absolutely heartbreaking.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, like we had mentioned earlier in the show, Richard Gere does the tap dance sequence.
I know.
And he actually did that. That's
him.
Amazing.
Yeah,
to me.
That is
hot.
That's amazing. And this reminds me, Will Allison, he's a friend of the show, writes in every once in a while, has my copy of Chicago on DVD. So, Will, if you're listening to this, mail it back to me. Yeah, great pick. I knew this one was going to come up. This
Even
was
my
one of
parents
those,
like Chicago, man.
Yeah,
that
this was one of those where,
a breakout.
Where the numbers were just, they're just fun to watch. That's why I remember I bought it on DVD. I love the sound of it, the bass, just watching the numbers. It's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like the way that movie was filmed and the way they incorporated the script and like bled into the dance numbers. So it wasn't like you were watching a musical theater piece. You kind of forgot that you were actually watching a really famous musical theater piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought the way it was done was absolutely brilliant. And it brought that movie or that story to the masses in a way that it never would have before. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's been films that have come after it that try to do the same thing, but for some reason they just don't get it right. I don't know if you guys saw the movie Nine.
Yes.
And it just didn't work. It was sort of along those lines, but there was just something missing where it was like,
I agree.
It doesn't got that Chicago magic.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right, strong pick. Yeah. Chicago sitting at number three. Swings us into our number twos. And I have a very, very new film sitting at number two. Came out in 2010. It was my movie of the year last year, Matt. I am speaking of Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't like it.
No?
No.
Why didn't you like Black Swan, Andrea? Really?
Okay, I guess I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I liked the dancing, I guess. It just struck me the wrong way. I didn't enjoy myself while I watched it. I was disturbed. And that was kind of the point, too. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But I didn't connect with it. Like, I watched it after it came out on video. Mm-hmm. So I heard everybody saying it was going to be fantastic. Oh, my God, you're a dancer. You're going to be blown away.
They overhyped it for you.
It missed the mark with me.
I could see that happening a little bit. It is very dark, but that's sort of the appeal of it for me. I mean, who's going to make a movie about the ballet and be so dark?
I know.
And just psychological thriller in a way. And it worked on all levels. You know, it was like a reflection of the actual ballet itself. The Black Swan was the movie, and her becoming the Black Swan. I just absolutely loved it.
I did too.
Yeah. And not to mention, I mean, Natalie Portman's performance was, obviously, she won the Oscar.
I
just loved it.
I agree. Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, John.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
You got to see Black Swan. Swings us over to Matt's number two.
Kevin Bacon, man.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
Footloose and Fancy Free.
For sure.
An upbeat teen from Chicago moves to some small town out in Hicksville, led by some zealot who's band dancing and rock and roll music. What's he going to do? Have a senior prom, man. That's what you're going to do.
Let's dance!
That movie is seriously iconic. I mean, it's Footloose. I don't even know what to say other than that.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, actually. I remember I caught it on TV. It was one of those that had just started, and I ended up watching, like, 45 minutes of it when I really was, like, holding the remote in my hand, like, all right.
And you just couldn't stop.
One more minute. Next thing, you know, like, 45 minutes in. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I've seen it probably, like, seriously, like 60 times. I mean, it's been a while for me, too, but it's Footloose. It's a classic American film, and definitely a good dance film. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It makes you want to get up and dance.
It does.
Absolutely.
It really does. Fight the man.
Yeah. Swings us over to the dames. What do you got sitting at number two?
Amy, we've got Flashdance. I mean, come on.
Now we're getting to the classics right here.
Here's one of the reasons why I love this film. This girl, an amazing dancer, beautiful, right? Jennifer Beals.
Yeah.
Beautiful girl. She's got this split life. She's a welder. She lives in this gritty area. I think it's in New York, and in this loft apartment. And she's got this, like, manly life. But then she's a ballerina and this amazingly gorgeous, wonderful dancer. I love that dichotomy. I love it. I love it so much.
You know who's in this movie? Huh. Lee Ving, who's the lead singer of the band Fear, which is one of my favorite bands.
Really? Speaking of bands and this movie, did you know that her love interest in this film, I can't remember the actor's name, that role was offered to Gene Simmons.
Really?
And he turned it down because he thought that it would play too against his demon image. He would be right.
Yeah.
That was correct.
Good choice.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels.
Yeah.
That's awesome. An interesting fact I did not know.
No, yeah. Either did I. Swings us into our number ones. We haven't crossed over yet.
No, this is amazing.
Oh, I know.
I thought for sure we would.
I'm so glad. My number one... This is, to me, what a dance movie is all about, in my opinion, because it's like a celebration, and that's what dance is in general. And this was, I just felt alive after seeing this movie. It came out in 2000. I'm speaking of Billy Elliot.
Oh. Oh, yes. you got a very good soft choice. Oh from all of us. Yeah, no, absolutely, you're right.
My girlfriend and I, we went and saw this, and we were just getting into, like, seeing any movie that got good reviews, really getting out to it. I remember thinking, like, I'm not going to like Billy Elliot. And there is such a magical moment in this movie when he's been sneaking away from the boxing classes to take ballet, and he's been doing this behind his dad's back. And finally, there's this moment where he just starts dancing in front of his dad, going wild. And dad sees it, and he basically just, like, goes out of the room, and he knows he has to, like, break the strike lines because he was on strike from the mind because he's got to get the money to send this kid because he's got a gift for dance.
Yeah.
And it gives you like goosebumps on the arms. And you came out feeling so happy after seeing Billy Elliot. And I think that's what I was saying. Like, that's what dance does for you. It makes you feel good.
Exactly.
And that's what Billy Elliot did for me. It's my number one dance movie of all time, Matt.
Good pick.
Very good pick. Yeah.
Ding.
You recovered from your Liza Minnelli comment.
Yeah, you're
back.
Thank you again.
You're back.
Matt, what do you got at number one?
This is seriously, I'm actually kind of worried I'm stealing your number one.
Uh-oh.
When you talk about dancing movies.
I don't know.
Nervous.
Dirty Dancing.
No.
Nobody puts Billy in the corner.
Not stealing
your
number one.
Wow,
no.
This is great.
Really?
But I love Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
That's
I mean,
great
you're right,
one.
Yeah.
Jennifer Grey, Ferris Bueller's sister, with Patrick Swayze, and he was at his absolute prime in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in 1963, just before JFK gets assassinated. America was still innocent, and yet they're doing this dance. Was it? I mean, is it the Lambada? I mean, was that what they were doing, like officially?
I don't remember. I feel like, yeah, that was one of them. The Pachango was another one.
Yeah, they were getting very close to one another. And especially in the 60s, you did not do that. So, I mean, it was fantastic.
Every time I think of that movie, I think of I Carried a Watermelon.
Me too.
Me too.
I always think nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Yeah, that one
and
too.
And that.
That's why. In fact, I use that line. I try to use it on a daily basis. I really do.
And as you should.
Yeah.
It just makes
as you
feel
should.
Good.
Does that go over well with everyone?
Yeah, well, it depends on the context.
Oh, okay.
It does pretty well.
Yeah.
It does pretty well. But no, I love this movie. I've seen it, again, like 500 times.
It is another one of those movies that when it's on TV, you cannot not watch it.
Yeah. My sister had the soundtrack, and she played it all the time, so it sort of stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is great. We had no crossovers. I'm dying to know what the Flaming Dames had at their number one dance movie.
Yeah.
They didn't have Billy Elliot. They didn't have Dirty Dancing. What could have they had?
Well, I told you that we were Fosse dorks, right? We're huge Fosse dorks. Our number one is All That Jazz. The Bob Fosse movie of his life. Actually, wait. Shirley MacLaine, Bob Fosse had a heart attack and he was in the hospital. Shirley MacLaine was friends with Bob Fosse. She came to see him at the hospital. And I think he was talking about making movies and what he wanted to do next once he got better and what have you. And Shirley MacLaine, he said something like, I should just make a movie about my life. And Shirley MacLaine was like, why don't you just make a movie about your death? And that was
Ouch.
All That Jazz. But that movie is not about his life. That movie is about his death. And it's just the dancing in that movie is all Fosse all the time. And it's so sexy and so
passionate.
Different and so passionate. And he was such a dick.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. He was one of those jerks that by the end of the movie, you just could not help but love him and stand behind everything he was doing. You know, I don't know. Girls, like, what do you think?
He was just that movie, while it does make him look like a jerk, it does show him and his passion, extreme amount of passion for what he did and why he was the best and why he, like, created basically his own style of dance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it takes a jerk to do that, but
sure.
It's an endearing quality also, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So
it's an admirable quality.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not somebody you want to spend a lot of time with, like,
probably not
one-on-one,
no.
But
yeah.
When you see his body of work, it's impressive.
But, like, mm-hmm. You know, that's, I feel like that's a mark of a true artist.
I agree.
At all costs, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if he's pissing you off. He doesn't care. He just wants to create something different and new, and he was a pioneer. And that's what that movie is. That's what it's all about.
No compromise.
No compromise.
No
great
compromise.
Picture.
Yeah.
This is 15 movies to dance with, Matt.
I know.
I can't even believe 15 different dance movies. No one
I cannot
one
believe we did not cross.
We had more on our list that didn't make it, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got some honorable mentions. Throw a few out before
we
go to break.
What do we have here? What do we have? Let's see.
Throw them out rapid fire.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I've never seen that. I can't.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Helen Hunt, dance competition.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm sold. I'm putting it on the queue.
You gotta see it.
And they're like 12.
Helen Hunt's in it?
Yes.
Helen Hunt.
Mm-hmm. I can't see
it. Or how
that.
About how about Step Up?
Yeah, there's a bunch that, like, the more recent ones, like Step Up,
Save the Last
Arts,
Dance.
Save the Last Dance.
Bring It On.
Bring It On.
Yeah.
Kind of, well, it's like Cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also have some spirit fingers going on in that one.
Yeah.
Good picks. Good picks, Matt. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got a new segment we call
Cinema War.
And we got trivia. The Dames against Matt Kay.
All right. Nice. You're going down.
Southern movie trivia. All
right, okay.
What is it?
Southern movie trivia.
Oh,
Southern
God. War. Here oh, we go.
We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. Concerning the film Footloose, the dancing feet in the opening credit sequence contained many of the cast and crew. Over 150 different pairs of feet were shot. The dancer with the gold shoes was actually Kenny Loggins. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw. We're hanging out here with the Flaming Dames, Amy, Andrea, and Leslie.
Woo!
And yeah. It is time for a new segment we like to call
Cinema War.
And
getting worse and worse at that.
It works like this for the Jawheads at home. Me and Matt think of the card game War. It's like a debate. We're going to go back and forth. And the Dames, you guys get to be the judge. We have cloaks here for you. And you can put on these funny wigs here. And
fantastic.
Yeah. We're all about the costumes.
You guys
Here's
tell
some
us
gavels.
Who do you think wins this Cinema War? Reno, what's the topic today?
Today's Cinema War topic is Ryan Reynolds an A-list actor? Matt, you'll be fighting that he is. Rye, you'll be fighting that he is not. Let the Cinema War begin.
Am I first?
Okay. Go ahead.
Like it or not, Ryan Reynolds has all the trappings of a classic leading man. Good looks, charm, safe family humor, and a toothy smile. Oh, and the fact that you can bounce a quarter off his abs will keep the ladies and some guys coming back to the box office for more and more.
Oh, Matt, let me tell you. All he is a pretty face with absolutely no acting ability. An A-list actor stands for acting, as in you have to do some to be at least good in your movies.
He's actually got some decent range. He's done romantic comedy, animation, indie films, superheroes, action, and even horror with 2010's underappreciated Buried. He may not be Laurence Olivier, but the guy can act pretty well.
I tell you, Matt, this was his big summer. He was asked to carry a new franchise, Green Lantern. The light went out on that after an underwhelming box office and mixed reviews. Then he has the comedy The Change-Up with Jason Bateman. That did even worse at the box office and with the critics. He is 0-for-2 in his big 2011.
He's funny. The kind of funny that sells movie tickets. We're not talking about the art house here. We're talking about cold, hard American cash. We are too lazy to have our own abs of steel, so we'll pay to see a handsome Canadian have them for us.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I would never see a movie because Ryan Reynolds is in it. I may watch a film he is in, and while doing so, think to myself how much better this movie would be if it had another actor in it.
The question is Ryan Reynolds an A-list actor? And I'm sorry, but there's just no doubt about it. I'm not saying he's a good actor or anything close to it, but the man fills movie seats, and that's what this debate is about. He will continue to get roles and maybe even develop some acting chops, but rest assured, you will see him next summer.
Yeah, he's going to get roles over his abs, and he's not going to be good anymore. Matt, name me one good Ryan Reynolds movie without cracking a smile. Impossible. He is not an A-list actor, only if the A stands for airhead who can't act. Tough one. Tough
yeah.
one, Matt. Whew. We throw it over the Dames.
Oh, my God.
This is hard.
I mean,
I'm just hoping we don't have big Ryan Reynolds fans in the room.
You know what? Amityville, right? Amityville Horror, right?
Yeah, great.
He was really, really good in that movie. He scared the
crap
out of
me. What do you think, Amy?
I remember one of his first big movies. I remember seeing it. The title runs away from me right now, but he was like that college big preppy boy.
Yes.
Wilder.
Van Wilder.
Yes. Yeah.
You go from
Van Wilder.
I kind of like Van Wilder.
Van Wilder's funny.
Yeah.
It's like a poor man's
Ferris
Bueller.
And you're right. He's a very handsome man, right? Hot man who's also funny.
Help me out here.
Come
on. Okay. He stood out in his films because he's a handsome man and because he takes off his shirt and that's
funny.
What people like to look at. But other than that, really?
I mean, it takes... Really? You have to be a... Comedy's not easy. You have to be a really, really good actor to do comedy
Dames,
well.
Dames, we need an answer. We need an answer.
I agree. I agree with Matt.
I say no way.
I say yes.
No.
We got a tiebreaker right here.
I I do think comedy's hard, and I do think he's funny, so I do agree with Matt.
Yes! Oh, wow. 2 out of 3!
Oh, my God!
Wow. That's 4 in a row!
Oh,
yes.
Girls, Matt, disappoint
me. You're on fire
with this one. I know. Jeez.
I can't win a good cinema war, I tell you. There's a new movie in theaters called The Help with Emma Stone, and because of that, we're going to do Southern movie trivia. I do have a quick DVD review I want to get to you. It's called Restrepo.
Okay.
And this documentary that I've wanted to see for some time, directors Tim, I'm going to probably butcher his last name, Tim Hetherington and Sebastian Janger need to be applauded, as do all our armed service men and women. These two directors spent 1 year with one platoon in the deadliest valley in Afghanistan. The footage you see, Matt, is so raw and real that it'll leave you deeply affected. Open fire from the Taliban is a common occurrence in the movie. You also see the effect of losing a fellow soldier on the rest of the platoon, and also all the work and labor they do when not exchanging fire with the enemy. Lastly, you see the camaraderie between the soldiers and how important that is to help them through this most terrifying assignment. Movies such as this should be seeked out and watched because we should never forget the sacrifice so many make for this great country. Rye the Movie Guy is great on this one. Three Jaws, a great of a B.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out. Restrepo. Fantastic documentary.
Got it.
I saw True Grit. I'll keep it really brief.
Sure.
You know, I said, actually, I tweeted it. They don't make movies like this anymore. They remake them. So for whatever it's worth, it was a really, really great movie. You know what? I wanted to see the original, Duke movie right away. And it wasn't on instant, so I had to delay my gratification.
Yeah, I've checked them both out, and I like them both. It's one of those where I didn't mind the remake that they made it. It was good, but when I went back and watched the original with the Duke, I didn't really see a reason why they should remake it. But
yeah, maybe it's just been too long. Not enough people have seen it. I don't know. I love the ending. It was great. Coen Brothers, fantastic. True Grit. I'd give it Three Jaws. Go
three
see
Jaws.
This one.
Yeah. Nice. So like I said, The Help with Emma Stone is coming out in the theaters based on the best-selling book. And so we figured we would do Southern movie trivia. Matt, should be noted to the Jawheads at home, has won 3 weeks in a row.
Uh-oh.
But he is 11-13. He does have a losing record on the year. The Dames, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals if you don't know it.
Ladies, what do you think?
I don't know.
We'll let Matt go first.
Yeah, Matt, you go.
Okay.
All right. And remember, if you get stuck, go to our wonderful producer, Rescue Me Reno. He'll help you out with a clue.
All right.
Question number one, over to Matt. In 2004's The Notebook, what actress plays Allie, who falls in love with Noah, who was played by Ryan Gosling?
Emma Thompson?
No.
No, it's not.
You got a chance for a steal?
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah!
I'm
one
doomed.
To nothing, the
I'm
Dames. Doomed. One to nothing,
we're on the
Dames.
Board.
Question number two is over to the Dames. This 1951 film was set in New Orleans, and here's Marlon Brando yell, Stella!
Streetcar Named Desire.
Yay!
2 to nothing, Matt. You got to get this one.
It's 3-1, man. I'm dead.
Question number three, over to Matt. This 1985 Southern film was directed by Spielberg and starred Whoopi, Oprah, and Glover.
Mississippi Burning?
I know it.
You need a repeat of the question. This 85 Southern film was directed by Spielberg and starred Whoopi, Oprah, and Glover.
The Color Purple.
Ah! 3-0. Yay! It's a slaughter at this point, Matt. Question number four, over to the Dames. In the 1998 Best Picture winner, Driving Miss Daisy, who played Miss Daisy?
Jessica Tandy.
4-0.
It will
Matt,
not be
absolute slaughter.
It will not be a shutout.
All right, fantastic. Question number five. Matt, Reese Witherspoon starred in this 2002 film where she had to travel back to the South to get a divorce from her husband in order to get married to her new man in New York City.
Sweet Home Alabama.
We knew that one, too.
Yeah,
we knew it. We so knew it.
Everyone knows that.
Question number six, over to the Dames. It is 4-1, Dames. Midnight in the Garden of Evil was directed by Clint Eastwood and starred John Cusack and Kevin Spacey, but what southern town does it take place in?
Savannah, Georgia.
Yay.
Wow.
Woo!
This is unbelievable.
No lifelines yet.
The Dames must be from the South.
Yeah.
5-1. No lifelines needed here. Matt, Sandra Bullock teamed up with Ashley Judd and Ellen Bernstein for this Southern family story. You do have a
mine
do
as
have
well.
A,
yeah, Rescue Me Reno.
Rescue Me Reno. Question number 7. Sandra Bullock teamed up with Ashley Judd and Ellen Burstyn for this Southern Family story.
And your clue is, this clue is a secret. Don't tell your sister.
This clue is a secret. Don't tell your sister.
Say the question one more time. I'm sorry.
Sandra Bullock, Ashley Judd, and Ellen Burstyn teamed up for this Southern Family story.
Secret, don't tell your sister.
We know it.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood.
Oh, man.
6-1. It's
eat
all
it.
Games.
Eat
I knew it, was something
Matt.
Like that.
Eat it.
Oh,
we
man.
Told you you were going down.
This is the last question of the game. It's
I'm
over.
Dead.
But just rub it in his face.
Oh, yeah. I got 1 point. I'm not.
All right. It's 6.
I'm not shut out.
It's 6-1. In 1992, Marissa Tomei and Joe Pesci find themselves in Alabama courtroom in this comedy.
My Cousin Vinny.
7-1 the Dames.
Throw him a bone. That's an easy
wow.
one.
That was awesome. There was a jawbreaker in case there was a tie, and Matt actually brought his ball game. But
oh, ouch.
Better Sally Field film, Steel Magnolias or Forrest Gump?
Better Sally Field film, Steel Magnolias or Forrest Gump? I think Forrest Gump.
No.
Forrest Gump.
I'd say Forrest Gump.
I say Steel Magnolias.
Forrest Gump.
Here was the real jawbreaker. Age of Joe Pesci. Dames?
Age?
Yes.
Wow. That was eerie.
Closest to?
60.
Matt?
He's getting up there, man. That's a good guess. I mean, I'll go 58 just to go under.
It would have been the Dames. He is 68.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yes.
Jeez.
68
wow.
years old.
He's pushing 70.
Did
Joe
you
Pesci?
See what was that Matt Damon movie where he was the FBI or CIA
all of Matt
guy?
Damon, all of yes. the, all of his movies?
The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. Did you see Joe Pesci in that?
No.
He is looking old, man.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. But the Dames crushed Matt.
70. Yeah, we did.
Well played.
Boom. Nicely
well
done.
Played.
Handshakes around.
Yes. Before we end the Cinema Jaw, we got a
You're
couple
a
Hollywood
sport.
Headlines we could go over really quick.
All right.
Get a load of this one, Matt. Paramount sets release date for zombie infestation pick World War Z.
Oh, sweet.
For December 21st, 2012.
This is fantastic. I've read the book. Have
I was
you?
Wondering. I
yeah.
have not. I
yeah,
was going to ask you.
You guys can chime in. I mean, are you excited about it?
Do you know this one, World War Z?
I don't know, but I love zombie movies.
Yes,
so,
and
yeah.
a burlesque zombie show is the best.
That was actually brought to my attention the other day. We should do zombies. Yeah.
Yes, you should.
What do
you
got, Matt?
Lionsgate confirms that Kenny Ortega yeah. is going to direct Dirty Dancing, a remake of the 1987
what?
Hit film.
Okay, you know what? I think that's awful. I want Hollywood to stop teabagging my childhood.
I agree. It's getting too much already with these remakes.
I can't say it any better
stop
than
it.
That.
Stop it. Everybody just stop it. Leave them alone.
I agree. One more for you, Matt. Clint Eastwood's biopic, J. Edgar, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, will skip the festival circuit this fall because the simple fact that Eastwood is still editing the picture and will need all the time he can get. Some experts think this will hurt the buzz for the film and even its Oscar chances.
Well, I don't know, man. Clint has had very few missteps, so... You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I agree. Plus, I want to see DiCaprio play J. Edgar Hoover. I think that's going to be pretty awesome.
Is he going to be in a dress?
For
oh,
part of
stop
it.
Stop it.
You got one more?
Yeah, I got one more. Oh, no, not already. After an impressive opening weekend, Sony announced that they'll release a sequel to The Smurfs on August 2nd.
God.
2013.
I hate the fact that families went and saw this movie and that we got to put up with the second Smurfs.
You know what? They already announced the sequel to Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man. It hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, it's ridiculous wow. already.
The only reason I would see the Smurfs, though, is for NPH. I love him.
Yes.
Yes.
Neil
I love that man.
Yeah. But I don't think
he,
that
is
you,
fantastic.
He can save
Dr. Horrible.
Smurfs. Dr.
Horrible.
I know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would see the Smurfs is because Katy Perry.
I like Katy Perry too. No, I'm with you on Katy Perry.
Boy, you hate to have
I
a cinema jaw on
like
a sour
her.
Note like that.
I grew to love her.
I mean, she's the classic pinup girl look. You know, she's a hottie. Come
I'm
on.
In Katy Perry.
She can sing. She's
that,
hot.
No,
come on,
no.
too hot for Sesame
she's
Street.
Hot.
She's no Zooey Deschanel.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
It's okay. We're at the end of the show.
We got
beep.
We're already out of time.
All right.
The Dames are hammered. They're all sitting about the 7-1 win.
That's how we do things here on Cinema Job. Yeah, I mean,
what a fun show.
Yeah, I mean, we want to really thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
we had a great
thank you so
time
much.
With you.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a blast.
One more time where people can find you guys online.
www.theflamingdames.com.
And your new home?
Our new home is at Vision Nightclub, 632 North Dearborn.
When can they see you there? What days of the week?
Every Saturday night, all through October, and two Saturday nights in September. We open on September 24th, and we perform the last two Saturdays in September, all the Saturdays in October, and the first two Saturdays in November.
Yep. Wow.
That's a good run.
Schedule.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. So, Jawheads at home, definitely, definitely check out the Flaming Dames.
For sure.
Yes.
Thanks again for
Rock
coming
on. Rock and Rollin' Booblies.
Yeah. So we want to thank our sponsors also, Evil Squirrel Comics.
Yep. Also the new 400 Theaters.
Yeah, and PBR. And thanks to our wonderful producer, Steve Mrazek, the best in the business.
Rescue Me Reno.
Yeah, absolutely. So until next week, check us out on Twitter.
Follow us on Facebook.
And keep on jawing about the movies.
See ya.